Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It really is remarkable, and this happens in my own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that conversations on questions, debates, if you will, that ought to have been closed not just decades ago or centuries ago, but millennia ago, questions like the ordination of women, thoroughly answered in Scripture by the Apostle Paul, thoroughly answered in Scripture by the example set by Christ in the New Testament of the apostles and the pastors that he called. It really is remarkable that questions continue to linger, that these things are considered open questions or even open for debate. We're going to be talking about the ordination of women in the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany, also known as SELG. Dr. William Torgensen will be joining us here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, it's August the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us, and we'll be talking about Jesus in Gethsemane. Colleen Carol Campbell will be with us in the second hour. We'll discuss the legacy of Terry Schindler Schiavo. We'll talk about Joseph of Arimathea, remembered on this day, or actually yesterday, by the church. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. with Jill Rishi of Walter Martin Ministries talking about polygamy. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. William Torgersen is a regular guest. He's a pastor in the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, and he's director of the International Lutheran Welcome Center in Wittenberg, Germany. Dr. Torgersen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. Nice talking to you.
What has created the crisis that presently exists in SELG with regard to women's ordination?
Well, let's scale it down just a moment. I don't think it's a crisis, but it's this usual attempt of people who are in favor of women's ordination, for whatever reason, hardly any of them seem to be theological, that they keep coming up with this issue and will not let it go, even though our church, as an Orthodox Lutheran church, has always said, no, thank you, to women's ordination.
SELG has,
so they keep coming back.
SELG has said that the issue of women's ordination is not an open question, but a disputed question. What does that mean?
Right. That means that the constitution of our church, from its very beginning, we are a merger of four different Lutheran churches in 1972, but from the very beginning, the church has said in its constitution, office of the ministry can only be bestowed on men. It says so in German Männer. So there is absolutely no error about what that possibly could mean when it talks about males. And the church has repeatedly said that's what we are sticking to. We have no theological reason to change that. And yet we do have, admittedly, pastors and members of the church who are constantly bringing up the issue, probably one of the reasons being that they are, what's the word, infected or affected by the society of which they are a part, about their environment and the people around them.
Another church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baden, they have actually crossed a line here. And in fact, if I read what you have written about this carefully, technically crossed the line in 1994. Tell us that story, Dr. Torgerson.
Yes. The Lutheran Church in Baden used to be part of our old Lutheran church movement here in Germany. And then just before Zell came to be its own church body, and after the merger in 72, they decided to be kind of their own independent church body because they wanted to join the Lutheran World Federation. But we've always had for many years very cordial and close relations with one another, pastors coming back and forth between two churches. We, in fact, had altar and pulpit fellowship. And then when this decision was made at their national convention, the Zelk didn't want to upset the apple cart, kind of like, well, that's the theory, but they're not putting it into practice.
What was the
and
decision?
That, of course, was that was the mistake.
What was the decision that the Baden Church took in 1994?
They decided that the ordination of women and the service of ordained women in their church was acceptable. But they did not act on that. They did not then call a woman until this year.
And how has that heightened the discussion of the ordination of women in the independent Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany?
The problem that has arisen is that there are, admittedly, people in our church who are in favor of women's ordination, including pastors. If I were to make a wild guess, it's about a third of them. And they say, okay, this was the decision the Baden Church made, but we are not affected by that. But we have said at that time, or we are saying now, quite a few of us in our church of the Zelk, that we will no longer practice church fellowship with the Baden Church, because what kind of a situation would that be when suddenly a woman pastor would show up at a joint service or so? There is a rule, which was, by the way, reiterated by our National Church Convention in July, that a Zelk pastor may not officiate with a so-called ordained woman. And therefore, we made it very clear in a letter that quite a few pastors of our church signed that we will no longer practice church fellowship with a church that has taken this rather revolutionary step. Certainly, it is totally against the entire tradition of the church, and we believe also against very solid theological reasons.
You put these sentiments, you and many other pastors put these sentiments into an open letter to the superintendent of the Baden Church. How was that public expression of, what shall we say, concern, how was that received at Selk headquarters?
I don't think, to be honest, they were quite happy with it, but mostly on, what's the word, on the question of the matter of order. Who represents the church to the outside, to the public, to another church body? Some of the church administrators we're in Germany after all, where leadership is very important, that they say only the bishop or the four vice presidents, called Pröpster, they are allowed to officially connect with another church body, either positively or negatively. And they took it rather amiss that about 45 pastors took it upon themselves to write this open letter to the bishop of the church in Baden that we would no longer now practice church fellowship with them.
Now, I take it that your bishop, Selk Bishop, has also publicly expressed some concern, and that in addition, the story complicates, has needed some explanation. What did the Bishop of Selk have to say publicly on to the ordination of women in the Baden Church, but also in response to the open letter that the Bishop of the Baden Church received?
The Bishop was dismayed on two accounts. First of all, he was dismayed about the action of the Baden Church. In fact, and I think that's a pretty important statement that he made, he wrote to the superintendent in Baden and said, by the way, what you're doing is not Catholic in the proper sense of that word. This is not Christian tradition and certainly not biblical theology on which you base your decision to ordain women and call them to serve in the parish. The other reason for his dismay was kind of an internal thing directed at us who signed this open letter declining to practice church fellowship. He was of the opinion, our bishop, who, by the way, is quite dead set against women's ordination. I should say this quite frankly and openly and honestly. But anyway, he was dismayed that we wrote this letter because he thinks it adds to a dissension in our own church. This dispute sometimes makes it difficult at pastoral conferences on district or national level to really talk to one another in a fraternal way. And he is kind of very nervous that this sense of dissension would spread throughout his church.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on women's ordination in the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. Dr. William Torgensen is our guest.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, August the 1st. We're talking with Dr. William Torgerson of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany about a little bit of tension, in the words of his bishop, over women's ordination, both within and outside Selk. That's the other name for the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany. Dr. Torgerson, your bishop says that there is a tension within Selk, but logic would dictate that it can't continue indefinitely. What, in your opinion, needs to happen on the issue of women's ordination?
I think we need to deal with the issue of women's ordination within our own church. The problem that we've kind of pushed ahead of us from year to year, from one synodical convention to another, from one pastoral conference to another. We keep having these votes. All the votes are against women's ordination, sometimes with a large majority, sometimes with less of a majority, but always the greater vote of the church is against women's ordination. And finally, we should address the issue, can we live together in one church, where some people say, yes, it's okay. In fact, they're not only saying, yes, it's okay. Now there are some people who are telling us it's demanded by the gospel of Christ to ordain women, because the new evangelical freedom that he brought and which the gospel extends to all people, which I think is a rather difficult argument to live with, and you certainly cannot live, certainly not for any extended period of time, in one church, because then you have an internal division. You may continue as one organization, but are you really one unified in spirit and in truth? That's the question. And so we need to finally deal with this issue. Are we going to continue to allow the public representation of women's ordination as a reasonable topic for conversation and dispute? Or are we saying, okay, you guys, we're going to have to separate? I hate to say this word. Separation is always something that needs to be very much at the end of a long and difficult and patient process. But there comes a time, in fact, our church began that way in 1817 when the King of Prussia forced people to join his Union Church. We began by saying, this is it, no more this way. We have to stick to what the Bible says.
It isn't only an issue touching upon Scripture in general. You have pointed out, for your part, that the question of women's ordination touches upon the gospel itself. How is that, Dr. Torgerson?
Because the gospel, in order to fulfill the work that is to be done by it and to achieve its goal, to save people for all eternity, needs to be preached and proclaimed with authority. And by the way, not the church's authority, not mine or anyone else's, but Christ's authority. Christ is the one that calls ministers to serve his gospel, and he has chosen to call men. If you were to ask me why, I have a theory, but it's certainly not something that the Bible, it's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy 2, I don't want to bore you with all sorts of passages, they clearly state what our basis should be. And if the gospel is not preached with authority, the full authority that Christ has given to the proclaimer of the gospel, then we really are in a bind, because we have to ask, is this what God wants that person to do?
Does this also create a bit of a tension for the church body I am a member of and the church body you are a member of? We are, if I'm not mistaken, in a partnership, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. And not to press too hard the point of guilt by association, but does it create a tension there between these two bodies?
I don't think it has created tension yet, because we are still in this process of discussion hopefully coming to an end rather sooner than later. We've been discussing this since 1972. I think sometimes we ought to be finished with the process of discussion. But certainly, by the way, the Missouri Synod and the Zelk in Germany are the oldest Lutheran sister churches in the world. Some say we're the mother of the Missouri Synod. Some say the Missouri Synod is the mother of Zelk. Whatever, we are in a very, very close relationship, and therefore I have always regretted that the theological process of discussion has not involved both churches at the same time.
So what needs to happen? Coming back to the kind of current state of the discussion of women's ordination in Selk, we said before that it has been declared not an open but a disputed question. It sounds like what you're saying, Dr. Torgerson, is that it is time for Selk to declare it a closed question.
Indeed.
The debate is now ended and we need not revisit the subject any longer.
I don't think there is a single argument, Tom, where anybody says this is something totally new and we now have a new view of what we're talking about. All the arguments have been exchanged. I think it's time now, for instance, for the seminary faculties, St. Louis, Fort Wayne, Edmonton, St. Catharines, and Oberursel, to get together, the five seminaries of our two churches, to finally get together and wrap this thing up. We cannot keep going like this. Can you imagine what kind of energy this takes away from our ministry in Germany? I was pastor in Berlin for 10 years. Somebody the other day called it the world's capital of atheism. Well, can you imagine what a small church like ours in Germany is wasting time talking about internal disputes instead of getting out there and confronting people with the gospel of Christ?
How would you respond to someone who says, well, Dr. Torgerson, there's an easy solution. Those who have been standing against the ordination of women in Selk, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in the other church bodies that you mentioned represented by their seminary faculties, they are standing in the way of the proclamation of the gospel by not permitting women to occupy the pastoral office. What is your response?
Well, my response is that obviously that is an argument far-fetched, because the gospel is that what derives out of the Holy Scripture, which is preached in the name and by the authority of Christ. Now, if somebody stands up there and says something about, or as a pastor or a lady pastor, then obviously, In my view, she is not doing the work that Christ entrusted to her care and authority. They're the ones. And by the way, women's ordination is then just one of the issues that has arisen in the modern church, even in some of the confessional Lutheran churches. It just doesn't stop at women's ordination. They continue the whole same-gender marriage issue and that sort of thing. It is, in fact, in the end, a question of what authority does the gospel of Christ have in the church today?
Finally, then, Dr. Torgerson, with about a minute before we need to wrap up our conversation, what are your hopes for the future of this issue in Selk? What are your realistic expectations, if they're different than your hopes, for this issue itself?
You're putting me on a spot. I've become rather realistic and sober about expectations. I can only put this whole matter into my prayers and rush them to the seat of God in heaven, that he may again make our church what it has always claimed to be and what it has always wanted to be, a church faithful to the Lutheran Reformation, meaning Christ says what is to be done, how it is to be done, so that people may be saved for all eternity.
Dr. William Torgerson is a pastor in the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany and director of the International Lutheran Welcome Center in Wittenberg. Dr. Torgerson, it's always a pleasure, and thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc. Please keep up the good and faithful work.
Thank you, and greetings to all your listeners.
When we come back, we'll be talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. We will follow Jesus into Gethsemane. It's one of the most dramatic scenes in the New Testament, probably second only to the crucifixion itself, but also crucial for understanding the two natures in Christ, crucial for understanding what it is Christ would suffer for us and for the world in his body on the cross to save us. Here is Jesus, a stone's throw from his disciples. He falls headlong in prayer. He says his soul is troubled even to the point of death. One gospel writer has him sweating great drops of blood. He prays, "If it be possible, let this cup pass me by." And yet, at the same time, this very same Jesus is willing. He says, "Thy will be done." He is willing to drink this cup, and he does for us. We'll talk about Jesus in Gethsemane, Mark chapter 14, with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-lifers have obtained a series of 911 calls from a late-term abortion mill in Albuquerque. The calls covered a time span of 15 months. They show a disturbing pattern of life-threatening botched abortions. This abortion mill, like all the others, operates cloaked in secrecy. Sometimes the women pay with their health, future fertility, and even their lives. With these calls, all the patients had to be rushed to the emergency room of the local hospitals. It's believed one of the two women abortionists, Shelley Sella and Susan Robinson, were involved with the botched abortions. Sella previously worked for notorious late-term abortionist George Tiller. She was accused by a nurse of delivering a live, nearly full-term baby and then stabbing him until he died. This is what they call pro-choice.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.